So I want to spend some time this morning taking a closer look at the passage from the prophet Jeremiah. In my Bible, it is found in the section entitled Jeremiah Buys a Field. And I think that it is maybe the least helpful of our passages this morning unless you take some time to put it into context. So for those of you who don't remember, Jeremiah was a prophet who lived in the land of Judah, which is now part of Israel and the West Bank. He was born in the area that we are talking about this morning, in Anathoth, which was in the territory of Benjamin, about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jeremiah lived in a crucial time in Judah. He saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, both catastrophic events for the people of Israel. And remember that the prophet's jobs were to call people out when they were behaving badly, particularly political and religious leaders who had a lot of control over how the general population behaved. And prophets were charged by God to bring hope to people in times of despair. The story that we have this morning is the second. The sale of land to Jeremiah is an act of resistance and hope. So at the time of this telling, Zedekiah is the king of Judah and Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar was a particularly brutal leader. And the Babylonian army is coming for Judah. Jeremiah is in jail because he prophesied that this would happen and that Zedekiah would be captured. And Zedekiah was really unhappy with what he said, so put him in prison. And that is roughly the context that we are dropped into this morning. It's slightly more complicated, and I commend the reading of the book of Jeremiah to you. So it's while Jeremiah is sitting in jail that he gets the word from God that his cousin is going to come and ask him to buy this field in his hometown, telling him that he can do this to stop it from being lost from his family. A hopeful act of resistance against an impending invasion. And who knows if this will stop them from losing the land, but this is what God has asked them to do, so they are going to give it a try. This is the land on which Jeremiah was born, gave his first prophecies. This is the land of his people, and it holds his people's story. In his chapter entitled Jesus, the Land and the Journey, Ray tells of when he heard about when the elders had a meeting with Jesus before the coming of the newcomers. And he writes this. He says, I'm not debating the veracity of the story, although from an indigenous perspective, it had all the marks of a true legend. The story took place on the land, and I was told the story in the place where it was said to have happened. Also, the story was told by a relative of the original people who were eyewitnesses to this event. These two things taking place on the land and showing how the storyteller was related to the original people are markers of a real story, Ray says. The land plays an important role in the story and its connection to the people. The land matters, and I would argue is a character in the story. I spent my teenage years on our family farm where my dad was raised. It was a half a mile down Three Road from Steveston Highway. It's now a mansion. When my dad decided to sell the farm, it was the right one, but it was also very hard for our family. That land holds the story of us, as complicated and as difficult as it is. If you went on that land, it showed you something about the history of my family, who we are, and how we came to be. So many things happened on that land, and when my dad died, after we put his ashes in the memorial garden here, my brothers and I drove past it. We couldn't go on it, and it doesn't look recognizable to us anymore. But that farm raised us. And we couldn't say goodbye to our dad without coming close to it. We needed to be close to the land. Land holds our stories. And I would argue that in this story, too, it is a character. Jeremiah, buying that piece of land in order to try to keep it, was a very important sign of hope, both for him and his people and his family. It is one of the ways that we connect to our history, tell our children about where we came from and the stories that have shaped us. But land is also a commodity, a sign of power and control. We only need to watch the wars that are waging around our world right now to tell you what that looks like. One of the most devastating things that the newcomers, as Ray calls settlers, did was to round up people and take them off their land, their traditional territory, which was a source of history and future and people and food. At the beginning of each gathering, we acknowledge here the land that we are on because it tells some of the story of what happened here. And reminding ourselves of that story is important if we are going to do better going forward. Number 49 in the calls for action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission says, "We call upon all religious denominations and faith groups who have not already done so to repudiate concepts used to justify European sovereignty over indigenous lands and peoples, such as the doctrine of discovery and terra nullius." And in case you are unsure, the doctrine of discovery was set out in a series of declarations by popes in the 15th century. And these declarations, known as papal bulls, provided religious authority for Christian empires to invade and subjugate non-Christian lands and peoples and sovereign nations, impose Christianity on those populations, and claim their resources. Those papal bulls were written at a time when the European Empire was doing widespread colonial expansion throughout the globe. So we, as readers of these calls, are being asked to reorient our understanding of this land and how it came to be in the possession of the people who came here and took it, even though it was already inhabited. So back to Jeremiah, who's about to also have a bit of an invasion on his hands, right? For him to buy his family's land was an act of resistance against the impending invasion and a sign of hope for the future. He might never see that land, and that wasn't the point. It was a sign that God wasn't finished with them yet, that there would be life for them even after the Babylonian siege. What follows is Jeremiah's prayer, in which he tries to figure out what's happening, and God's response, in which God asks, "Is anything too hard for me?" And response, of course, is no. That even after all of the ways that we go against God's dream for us, even after all of the ways that we do real harm to one another, the rest of creation, the land, there is always room for redemption and opportunities to return to right relationship. And this is true even now, even for us. This is why we have been spending time this month praying for creation and our part in it, confessing the ways that we have sinned and seeking ways to reconcile our errors. It's why we as people of faith ought to be looking for ways to meaningfully participate on Tuesday in the Day of Truth and Reconciliation, because all is not lost for us. Terrible things have been done on this land and on our behalf, from which many of us still benefit. But we are still learning, and we know that we can do better because of what we know from the teachings of Jesus about love, about neighborliness, about showing up and taking care of each other. Like Jeremiah's defiant act from prison, we too can offer signs of hope and seek a way forward. We are a people who believe in resurrection, in confession and forgiveness, and in the possibility of new life always. Amen.